Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning, witches. It is April 18th, 2024. It is Thursday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Ugh, I love April. April is like the perfect month. It's like the weather's nice. It is like a little rainy and there's flowers, and I just freaking love it. It's also like the birthday month of like most of my friends. So I love it. It's a great month. Can't get enough. Okay, so you're like, that's not why we're here. So let's move it along. Today's episode is brought to you by the Grimoire Society. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, life is a moving, breathing thing. We have to be willing to constantly evolve. Perfection is a constant transformation. Nia Peoples. So I am actually a big believer in this. I kind of believe you should always be a little embarrassed by your past self. I am always embarrassed by like me like a year or more ago. I always talk about my 20s as like being so cringe because I was so cringe. Like I had a great life and I had a great time and I did so many cool things, and a big part of it is like why I am who I am. But oh man, I think about to like how I believed things, and I was like judgmental, and I definitely thought like there was right and wrong, and life was very black and white. And I look back and go, oh my God, like relax, take a breath. Things aren't that serious, you know? So yeah, I'm a big believer that you should always be evolving and always be just a little embarrassed by past you. So we are talking about irises, and we're actually going to talk about some of the medicinal properties. So this comes to us from a journal, PubMed. Let's see. I can't find the specific journal, but it's peer-reviewed, and they did a study kind of researching the medicinal parts of irises, and they concluded many iris species are ornamental plants. However, they are used in various traditional medicines for the treatment of inflammation, cancer, bacterial and viral infections, and other diseases. Of course, like with all therapeutic things, you really want to make sure to discuss with your doctor, but it really doesn't look like this is kind of modernly, currently, westernly practiced, if that makes sense. All right, moving into some headlines. This comes to us from TheGuardian.com. No wands or broomsticks, how TV is reinventing the modern day witch. Domino Day is a thoroughly modern witch, as well as coping with being a contemporary witch in modern-day Manchester, with the mysterious coven on her tail. She's also navigating the world of love and is a frequent user of dating apps, but often to hunt victims rather than to find Mr. Right. The television series, which takes its title from its heroine, hit BBC Three and iPlayer later this month, is one of a number of TV programs slated this year that focuses on witches. Last week saw the release of Sanctuary, A Witch's Tale in the U.S., adapted from a 2020 novel by V.V. James. Despite being set in the author's native Britain, the new thriller series about a world where witchcraft is out in the open and has only been broadcast by AMC and in the U.S. One of the big hits of late last year was AMC's The Mayfair Witches. And even Marvel is not immune to witchy ways. One of the few TV series this year will be Agatha, Darkhold Diaries with Katherine Hahn. And of course, we have WandaVision. So it's time for the perfect, it's perfect time for Lauren Sequeira's Domino Day, who is finally realizing her long-held ambition of getting her modern witchcraft story in front of audiences. So yeah, new show. Super exciting. You have to check it out. All right. I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent. And after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Thursday, April 18th. The waxing gibbous moon moves from the spotlight of Leo to the background actors of Virgo today. Here, the moon trines the sun. We're feeling pretty self-confident today, likely with a rather go-getter attitude. We're finally starting to feel a little more motivated and are ready to take on challenges that are coming our way. This is a great day to get started on a project that's been languishing. You have the energy, the focus, and the will to take it all the way, so there's nothing to it but to do it. Your daily moon mantra is, if you risk nothing, you risk everything. This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Attention, witches! This is Nina Moreau broadcasting a special alert from the Grimoire Society. We ask that witches please remember to subscribe to the new monthly newsletter. While we love psychically sending you every spell, recipe, penny dreadful, and conjure advice that we have, spirit representatives have asked that we cease clogging up the ether. We have contracted a special team of messenger pigeons to deliver your monthly newsletter directly to your doorstep. For only $5, you can sign up for this elusive serial at www.thegrimoiresociety.com. Remember, this notice is for witches only. If you are not a witch and have somehow come across this broadcast, you will forget all that you've heard in 3, 2...
All right, we are back. So we are continuing on our mediumship series. And today we're going to talk about classic ways a lot of people try to detect ghosts. So we're actually moving from the magical, psychic, medium realm, and we're moving a little more into the paranormal bro realm. Okay? So this might be a little bit different, but I thought it'd be fun to kind of talk about tools people use to indicate ghosts and spirits. Now, my personal belief, do I think these tools work? I don't know, because I don't know what these tools are actually reading, claiming that they're picking up on ghosts. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I haven't done the research. And I kind of think a lot of people who use these tools maybe don't even quite know what they're measuring. Is it to say it doesn't work? No. But can I say this is proof of ghosts? No, you know? But we're going to go over those tools because why not? So this is from warwick.ac.uk. Ghost hunting equipment, what you need to know according to an electricity expert. So this is fun. We're talking to an expert. So one common way ghost hunters like to use tools to find ghosts is EMF meters. So this is electromagnetic field meters. And essentially, it is probably like the most common tool used by ghost hunters. Quote, these devices measure changes in electromagnetic fields usually used to detect and measure radiation from man-made sources, such as electrical wiring and power lines. A sudden, unexplained spike in EMF readings is often considered evidence of potential paranormal presence by ghost hunters. Next, we have Gauss meters. Gauss meters are more sensitive versions of EMF meters designed to measure even small fluctuations in electromagnetic fields, usually used to compare against safety standard limits, and paranormal investigators use them to detect subtle changes that might not register on standard EMF readers. I don't know how I feel about that because we know EMF readers will just pick up wiring. So I used to watch the show Ghost Hunters, and they would like not count EMF spikes if they were near wiring, which I really liked. So it's kind of, I don't love the idea that we're like, oh, the EMF reader is not picking up what we want it to pick up. Let's find a more sensitive version. At that point, it feels a little like forcing data, I think. Next, we have spirit boxes. And I'm not going to lie, I cannot stand a spirit box. If I'm watching a show that's like ghost hunting, I will skip over the spirit box section. Not a fan. So spirit boxes are specialized devices that rapidly scan through radio frequencies. Quote, in essence, these devices continually scan both AM and FM frequencies without stopping. It is believed spirits can manipulate these frequencies to communicate by selecting and arranging words and phrases. So basically what this device does is just scan through radio stations really, really fast. And like the idea is that you'll hear chunks of conversation and chunks of word. And then somehow the spirits can force these into phrases to communicate. And yeah, I'm not a fan of these. One, they're really loud and annoying. And I don't like that. They're very loud. But also, your brain is just putting together chunks of words that it's hearing, you know? So I'm not a fan of these. But let's look at some other tools. This comes to us from thehauntedghosttours.com. Nope, we're going to actually go back to that one. That's a different one I want to talk about. That's something else. But there's also things such as recording devices where it just kind of records like a tape recorder. And the idea is that the tape recorder might be able to pick up on sentences and words and sounds that the human ear can't. I'm actually more into these because I know exactly what it's doing, right? Unlike a spirit box where, I mean, you technically know what a spirit box is doing, but I guess there are some other tools that they're like, if it turns red, it's a ghost. And I'm like, why? Why is it if it's red, it's a ghost? Like, what are you measuring? When it comes to like a regular tape recorder or like a digital recorder, I'm more likely to believe it because I know what that device does, you know? So when someone hears a voice or a sentence or shouting on those things, I'm more likely to be like, oh, that feels like evidence, you know? And then, of course, we have cameras that pick up movement. I'm also more apt to believe those because I trust them. Of course, per source, right? I'm less likely to believe it if I see it on TikTok or YouTube, but if it comes from like a show and team that maybe I have a little bit more trust in, I'm likely to believe it. Another common thing people use is dowsing rods. So dowsing rods, I guess similar to EMF, it's meant to detect something else, but essentially dowsing rods detect like water, and it is said that if it's near a spirit, they'll cross, right? So some of these tools I like a little bit more than others. Again, for example, I like audio recorders. I like video recorders because I know what those things are doing. I trust that they're doing them. And if there is a anomaly, I'm more likely to trust it versus these highly specialized tools and devices that like we don't like, nor like lay people, the casual person, is that doesn't know what it's reading, you know? So I'm less of a fan of those. Now, let's say you're like, Tanya, my mother's house is haunted and I want to like investigate. What should I do? All right, let's dig in. This is from thehauntghosttours.com. And here's some advice, things to know before you do an investigation. One, never go alone. Always take a friend or two when you go ghost hunting. They can help if something goes wrong, as well as be an extra pair of eyes and ears that you need to validate potential manifestations. Remember, humans are really susceptible to like we are so easy to suggest things to as people. I was watching BuzzFeed Unsolved, one of my favorite little shows, and anytime it can be mass hysteria, I'm like, it's just mass hysteria. We are so easy to like manipulate in that way. So yes, always bring friends. Make sure you really heard it or really saw it. Also, you don't want to go into like spaces that you might be unfamiliar with, you know? So two, choose accessible locations. Find out exactly where the paranormal activity has been reported and check if it's accessible to the public. Trespassing should be avoided, and it's best to get written consent from the owner to avoid legal troubles. Yeah, you don't want to go somewhere that's like abandoned or anything like that because it might be unsafe. And you don't want to like have any sort of injury or accident because you went somewhere that you didn't know what was going on. Old abandoned buildings just might not be structurally sound and you don't want to be injured or worse, you know. Number three, check it out during the day. Check out the location you want to investigate during the day to get a feel for the area. Make sure you know exactly where the haunted hotspots are. In addition, look for any places that could pose a problem during your ghost hunt. You may also consider drawing out a map with potential hazards as well as nearby walkways and roads. Great idea. Going anywhere dark, it never looks the same as it does during the day, you know? Four, prepare carefully. Do your research about the reported hauntings and the entities involved. Some investigators believe that certain entities have the ability to drain fully charged devices, so make sure your equipment is fully charged and bring extra batteries in your bag. Also, make sure your camera settings are correct to avoid tinkering with them during your ghost hunt. Yeah, you don't want to have to fuss with your camera in the middle. And then, of course, dress appropriately. Wear good shoes, warm jacket, tie your hair back, headlamp, things like that. Don't just charge in. You wouldn't enter a stranger's house and start a party, would you? Same rules of common courtesy apply. Don't just start running around taking pictures left and right. The spirits you are investigating were once people too. So start your investigation calmly and carefully with a measured and deliberate pacing. This one, say a prayer for protection and guidance. We're witches, so do a little protection magic first. Of course, why not? Seven, talk to the spirits. Introduce yourself. Talk to them. Tell them you mean no harm and ask their permission to take pictures. I am not a fan of these shows that think being mean and aggressive to ghosts is fun and nice. We all know which show I'm talking about, and it kills me because one of like my favorite models like dates this like the main mean bro-y douchey dude, and I just hate it. I'm sure they're happy, but like I can't stand this guy. I don't think that's cool. I actually remember when Ghost Hunters went to Europe, they did like a UK version, and the UK ghost hunters were like, we actually don't believe in being aggressive to spirits. We believe in being respectful. And I was like, yeah, be respectful. Eight, follow your instincts. If you feel the need to take a photo of something, I'm also realizing that I'm like very few degrees away from the person I just said I think is douchey. And I stand by it. I stand by it hard. And we're actually, yeah, I'm like 1 degree away from this person. Hopefully just no one's listening. This isn't public, right? I'm kidding. Listen, I stand by it. I think he's douchey. And if that comes back on me, I will dig my heels in. Follow your instincts. If you feel the need to take a photo of something, do it. If it seems like something or someone wants to talk to you, tell them you are open to a conversation. And if you feel an overwhelming urge to leave, take that as a serious warning that you should not be in that space. Nine, say another prayer out loud. Before you leave the haunted location, say another prayer. Thank the spirit world and ask that nothing and no one follow you home. Agree. Or like, again, you're a witch, do some spell work. And 10, leave the location as you found it. Yes, respect both the dead and the living. I love that. Again, very similar rules to like nurturing house spirits that we talked about recently, right? Be respectful. That's where they live. That's like, you know, if you see trash, pick it up. Like, be kind and respectful of their space. Now, what tools should you bring with you? Like I said, I really like voice recorders, audio recorders, cameras, point and shoot cameras as well. If you want to do an EMF meter, that might be a good idea. Binoculars, things like that. Dowsing rods. Pretty cool. So, yeah. I think that's great advice. Thehauntghosttours.com. All right, witches. I'm really excited for tomorrow. I'm going to be answering your questions, which that wasn't going to be a full episode, but you guys had a lot of questions, and I'm really excited to answer them. So we're wrapping up this episode of The Witch Daily Show. I want to give a shout out to listener Stephanie Young. Stephanie, you starry-eyed, bedazzled moth. Audrey Grabowski, you talented, scintillating fae queen. Don Howard, you sparkling, esoteric kitten. And Elise S., you graceful, scrumptious Valkyrie queen. Thank you for so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. And before we leave, we do have a card pull. Our card is the Three of Hearts from the Jane Austen tarot deck. Celebration. Three roses represent abundance, festivity, and accomplishment. And that's all I've got for you today. So don't forget any books, decks, headlines, sources, anything we referenced today can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com. And we'll talk again tomorrow. Bye.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.